Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, everyone, to Beyond Surviving, the safe space for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to receive support, resources, and share their stories. Beyond Surviving is about freedom, healing, connection, and even laughter and fun. Most importantly, it's about letting go of the pain of abuse and finally moving on. I'm Rachel Grant, and for those of you who don't yet know me, I've been a sexual abuse recovery coach since 2007, and am the author of Beyond Surviving, The Final Stage of Recovery from Sexual Abuse. You can learn more about me and the Beyond Surviving program at rachelgrantcoaching.com. Now, folks, today I have here with me Tracy Brown, who is going to be sharing with us about how to restore our relationship to food so we can eat intuitively and come home to our body. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I love to explore new ways to evolve and heal. And certainly when it comes to our diet and our health, this is such an area that's impacted by trauma. And when Tracy reached out to me and shared with me about the work that she's been doing in this field, I was like, oh yeah, she's got to be a guest, got to bring her on. Man, Tracy has so much in her background that's supporting her in this work. She's an RD, LDN, a somatic nutrition therapist and dietitian. She's an attuned eating coach, which I cannot wait to explore that further and hear more about that. And she's also using counseling skills and a teacher. She helps people come home to themselves through their bodies by healing their relationship with food and weight, as well as feel safer and less stressed in their bodies. And this is something that I'm really excited to explore with Tracy today, because that whole feeling of I'm not safe is such a core reason why we end up having a disordered relationship with food. So we're going to hear more that she has to offer and say about that. She's been doing this work since 2006 and has guided people one-on-one and in groups. So you can learn more about Tracy at tracybrownrd.com. And she's also going to be sharing with us a little bit about an intuitive eating quiz. I think that's what it is. She'll tell us more about it, which I'm very excited to hear about. So Tracy, welcome. Thank you so much for being here today and sharing this time with me.
Well, Rachel, I'm already... I was trying to say my window tolerance here and be, you know, just very humbled. Thank you for the intro. And I almost felt actually in tears about your intro for your show as well, because that is the point of all this. I mean, this is hard work and to have some, to have hope.
Yes.
And to hear that in both of our voices and what we do, that's the point of all this. So I'm humbled and excited to be here. Thank you.
Hell yeah, absolutely, Tracy. So we've got really some wonderful areas to cover today. But before we get into some of that, I'd love to hear how you came into this work. You mentioned that you started in 2006. And you know, what brought you to doing the work that you are doing today?
Yeah, so probably like a lot of us who end up in these helping professions, we're all, you know, a lot of us are wounded healers. And so I recovered from anorexia, binge eating, and exercise addiction compulsion in my late teens, early 20s. And, you know, it's like, oh, you know, a lot of our traumas aren't remembered. So, and some of them are and some of them aren't. And a lot of times with disordered eating or chronic dieting, it's like we feel like it's just about, if I just get a thinner body or a better body or get healthier, I'll feel better about myself and everything will be fine. And then you get there and you'll realize, oh, I'm not fine. And now I'm obsessed and I'm kind of in a corner here. And so it became this long road back. And the way I healed wasn't through traditional, like, eat this, don't eat that. That actually colluded with a lot of my defensive strategies to avoid my feelings, which is to not eat, to have food rules, to overexercise, to binge, to be out of my body. Like, I didn't know I didn't want to be embodied because then I would feel stuff that my body remembered, but I didn't. So it was this long journey of, like, to get back into relationship with my food and my body. I had to give up the rules and I really had to just relearn how to eat. And the only way we can do that is how we learn when we were young is to learn to eat from hunger and fullness, take risk. And that was the very short version of like my journey. And then how I teach people now is like, you're not going to get rules and plans for me. You're going to get relearning how to eat again.
Yeah, thank you for that, you know, little entry into your journey and the process that you've had to navigate in your own life to rebuild and almost like just learn in many ways how to eat. We think that this is just something we know how to do, but not really. I remember when I was a nanny for many, many, many years, it was really fascinating, you know, to watch how the kids would eat and how I would have to curtail my own kind of food stories in order to not like, you know, oh, you need to eat more of that or, you know, five more bites or whatever it is, which is always coming, I think, from a loving, healthy, nurturing place when parents do that. But I think it does also contribute to getting us out of that place in which we know like what we need and are listening, you know, to that.
Yeah. And that's what diet culture teaches us. Yeah. And it colludes a lot of times with our past traumas of like there's no yes means yes and no means no and attunement and attachment and boundaries and all that stuff. Diet culture is just like this amalgam of all that garbage in a $60 billion industry. Mm. And it teaches us disembodiment and not trusting and somebody else knows better and what, you know, than our own body's wisdom. And so I think that's why, unfortunately, trauma and eating disorders go so well together, unfortunately, is because they're both very similar in, you know, being out of the body because you can't be trusted and it's not safe there. You can't, like with body size, if you don't look a certain way, you're pretty much sold and made to believe there's something wrong with you versus maybe your lived experience in a bigger body was just fine until somebody told you otherwise.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a fascinating thing, right? You take like a plump, luscious, full-figured body, you know, out of the 1900s, 2020s, all of this, and you put it back in, you know, the Renaissance, and it's like, yes, bring it, you know?
No problem.
Come here, honey. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, standards for, you know, male bodies and female bodies, they evolve and change, which it's so hard to get out of that social construct. But that's one thing that does personally help me is when I look at, you know, if you see how it has continued to change, like the 1920s flapper body, right, was a thing, and then this was a type, and then this was a type. What is that actually telling us then about bodies and what's an okay body or what's a good body if it can change and evolve?
That's right.
Yeah, so much.
Yeah.
one of the things you said there in your introduction that jumped out at me was this idea that the body remembers even when the conscious mind doesn't. And because we're holding that body memory of trauma, that we might act out of that without even being fully aware. I wonder if you could expand upon that a little bit more for our listeners, and how do we know, and what would that feel like, and what we might be experiencing, and
Well, for, I'll just say it with me personally, I kind of always felt like there was this sense of always being revved up. I think I was just lived in sympathetic, and I don't know if that started in the womb or in 0 through 3hood, or, you know, I can, there have some, I guess, reasons why I might feel like that way earlier or later in life, I can remember. But what that does, though, there's this always a sense of like being up and buzzy and on edge and internally tight. And if that's how your body container is speaking, and let's say that you go on a diet, you know, you might not feel so up and buzzy because you might feel a little numb, or you might feel like you have more energy because you're always exhausted from all the anxiety and the revved up feeling, or if it dips back down. So a lot of times, I mean, you're eating or not eating, it has a lot to do with what's happening in your nervous system, not always as much as what's going on with your actual biological hunger and fullness. And I'm trying to get some other examples of what that would feel like. It's like, say with dissociation, we know that kind of feels a little like your edges are a little dulled. Like you don't really know like how I got here or what's going on or what did you just say. And if you're having that mental experience, so physiologically when you're in dorsal vagal, let's say, you're kind of in hibernation. You don't feel as much. So when you're eating, you might eat more and surpass your comfortable fullness just to get really full so you can feel something.
Interesting.
And it's not always about like, oh, I'm binging and I feel out of control. It's like I'm overriding and I don't mean to, but because there's a sense of like feeling that there's something there for me, and that's an attachment thing, right?
Yeah.
And maybe some dorsal. If you're really up and buzzy, sometimes the only way you can feel like you just can feel like you're running off some of that adrenaline is literally by overexercising. Not because this feels good and I'm getting fitter, you're just actually getting run down, but for a couple seconds there, maybe for an hour after, you're feeling like, calm, because you just beat yourself down and ran all that adrenaline off.
Nice.
So those are some examples maybe of what people
I love that, Tracy. Let's break it down a little bit into the science because, you know, you got the degrees, you might as well. So
I'm a very much experiential learner, so I don't have that many degrees. I got a whole lot of time and money invested in training that there's no letters.
Fair enough. So when you think about, let's just kind of think about it. So for our listeners who aren't as familiar with the idea of the vagus nerve, and that we have kind of these two, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic, and that, you know, one branch of this kind of causes us to mostly be in kind of a numbed out, dissociative, you know, kind of sleepy, sluggy kind of state. And the other branch of this causes us to be in a little bit more activation, what you were describing as kind of that antsy anxiety. Maybe you can just give us a little like nervous system 101 in brief for people to have a sense.
I will do the best I can because I'm no expert. I just know enough to like
cool
do the work. So it is so good that we have these different parts of our survival system. Without it, we'd run out in front of cars and not, or go in the woods and not like look around when you hear a noise. Or, you know, if we were in a car accident, you know, it's kind of good that we might black out because I don't want to feel the glass in my leg. I'm not trying to be triggery there, but like, you don't want to feel these things. You want to be like able to survive.
You want to know if you're hurt or these things are happening or there's danger approaching.
That's right. So our sympathetic is just our fight or flight. We all have heard of that. And it mobilizes us out of danger. You either fight or you run. These are good things. And that's the sympathetic, and we all know that. Now, there's a whole other part. It's not quite the same as sympathetic. Our vagus nerve is not really part of the sympathetic. It's another part of our brain nervous system. But the parasympathetic has two parts. Our ventral vagal, like from our diaphragm up, and it helps with connection and social interaction and, just connection mostly. And then the other part is if our dorsal, and that's part of our survival system. So if things are too much, you know, just slow things down. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like deactivate a lot of that. And we don't want to be slamming up and down. We want to have this big, nice, wide window to live in, to where it's like we can be calm and alert and problem solve and manage stress without smaller daily stressors feeling like a really big deal.
Big deal.
So when these two are too on and activated too much, we don't have as much of this. And we're just up and down a lot versus like we get activated when we should.
Yeah.
In daily life, like eating isn't a trigger.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
eating disorders, that's part of the coupling, is that like we've had so much too much or too much not enough, whether it's care, support, safety, or too much chaos, shame, whatever, that gets us so up or down like this that we don't really know what is safe anymore.
Fascinating. Yeah. Thank you for breaking that down. That I think that really is a unique perspective that I'm hearing you share, that sometimes this idea of I'm going to eat and I'm going to eat, I'm going to eat, I'm going to eat, is because we're in that kind of numbed freeze. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I think I heard you said, is we're in that freeze state. The dorsal branch of our parasympathetic nervous system is basically kind of in charge and doing its thing. And so it's like, we're using food to try to wake up, to try to feel something, connect.
Yeah, and it's one, something. And everybody has their own strategy. Things can get coupled in a thousand different ways.
Oh, so sure, yeah.
Yeah, so like when you think about certain, everything's on a spectrum. Like a lot of times, like you know you're sad, not just have this like diffuse, like if you're really activated, like you can't label sad, but you can feel like there's a threat. You can't say I'm sad yet because there's still some work to do to like untwist like body sensations for what they are. Like there's hunger, fullness, and sometimes that you could have anger that we can misidentify as hungry or not hungry versus that's anger. You know, that's not your hunger signal. But anyway, but we can eat, we can be a sympathetic. And I call it grazing, where we're eating because maybe we're kind of anxious, but we don't label anxious. We label, we feel this.
I need the munchies. I got
munchies.
Sure.
Myself.
Yeah.
Or purging because I got a lot of rage that it's under the surface and I can't go there.
Yeah.
So we're purging. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty aggressive action. So
right.
an action of that. Or we're restricting because like I'm going to get numb from that.
Yeah.
And the same thing down below, like you can like be, I have clients that like are kind of freezy and like, I didn't know that I went 8 hours. I didn't eat. I didn't mean to. It is because of that kind of feeling and they kind of know here they kind of need to, but then it gets lost again. And, so there's some restriction on that and it looks different from the restriction up here.
Okay.
And learning how to track your body state makes sense then from your behaviors will like they match up of like what's happening
yes.
in the state.
Awesome. And so that's when we start to move out of this kind of disordered eating and we have that body intuition coming into play more and more.
Well, the intuition can happen once we get into some hopefully some safe information and safe relationship about how like one full permission to eat. Like humans need to eat. Humans need for nutrition and pleasure and sometimes we even eat for emotion. The goal is to like know you're doing it.
What's happening?
Know what's up.
Okay.
What's happening? It's like, it's like Friday night and I kind of want to have some fun, but not going out. So ordering pizza would be fun. That's a fun experience. But you're aware like this isn't my only way to have fun.
Okay.
Have pleasure. There's a difference between like I'm eating and I don't know that I'm missing fun in my life. And so pizza is a stand-in for fun versus, It's
a way of having fun in my life,
it's
along
a way
with
of having fun in my life.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's
awesome.
These nuances. So with intuitive eating, it's like first you're learning just that, like, yes, humans have a way of eating without being told what to do, and it's our hunger fullness signal. They exist and they always have. It's just that we've gotten cut off from them because we've gotten overwhelmed because somebody told us what to do for too long. We lose trust in ourselves or whatever.
Right.
So the first things are like that intuition kind of gets back on board when you can sit still long enough and be present long enough just to notice some stuff and build some awareness. And then honoring starts to happen when you notice like you know, I know that diet culture says I shouldn't be eating carbs, but like, I don't, like, all I want to eat is carbs. Well, you probably better eat the carbs then. Otherwise, you're still going to be obsessing and you're probably going to eat on the back end anyway.
Anyway. Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's pause there for a moment. And when we come back after our break, we'll talk more about what intuitive eating really is and how we can cultivate that and really start to tune in more to our full hunger signals. Yeah?
Sounds great.
Awesome. Are you ready to put your fears of abandonment behind you so you can have happy, healthy relationships? The fear of abandonment is extremely common in those of us who have been abused. When it comes to abandonment, we are very much driven by the fear of the unknown. We don't know if the people we are connecting to may one day withdraw their protection or support. People always leave can be a common inner belief we hold. Boy, have I been there. And I am going to share with you what helped me put an end to this paralyzing fear in my Overcome the Fear of Abandonment Masterclass. By downloading this masterclass, you will gain access to my proven process that will help you feel more confident and secure so you can have relationships that last. I'll also help you identify the toxic behaviors that keep you trapped in a cycle of abandonment and fear, and I'll also help you explore strategies for putting an end to sabotaging all your relationships. Go to rachelgrantcoaching.com/abandonment-class to get your MP3 of this masterclass today. Now, back to our show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. So before the break, Tracy, you were sharing with us a little bit about how we can begin to shift out of disordered eating by remembering how to eat, really,
right.
At the end of the day, like connecting back in, you know, to what we already intuitively know that we've become disconnected from. So could you give us a simple definition of what intuitive eating actually is?
Sure. I would love to give some definitions and I'm pretty practical, so I like to give, like, here's kind of some stages and steps
please.
So people aren't surprised and freak themselves out. If it, you know, they try something and doesn't work, well, maybe there's a piece missing. So intuitive eating, I kind of use the word attuned because it's not always intuitive to eat when you're not hungry first in recovery. Or it's not always intuitive to, like, sometimes eat mechanically because you don't know how you feel. So anyway, but intuitive eating or attuned eating is just this process of learning how to eat based on hunger and fullness most of the time, not all the time, because sometimes, again, we eat for fun. We eat because the cookies are hot out of the oven, no big deal. Or we get sick and we don't feel like eating.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, I've got the flu and nothing sounds good but crackers and broth, and you live on that for 3 days. You're not going to die. You know, and your body will rev back up and give you more accurate signals again. But it's all part of this process of, like, learning how to be in your body enough to get signals of what you need, when you need it, how much, learn to honor that and respect that. And it's really flexible, to be honest, but it's kind of radically simple, but it's not really that simple to do in practice if you've been disconnected from your signals for a long time.
Okay.
So kind of what I want to share about that is the first step is there's this idea of, like, you've got to, like, ditch diet culture. It's just, it's not going to work. You can't really have a foot in both camps. It's like, I want to lose weight and get this certain body and then eat from hunger and fullness. So they're, like, at cross purposes.
Okay.
There's a level of, like, we have to, like, let go of trying to control our food, which I know sounds really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see all my listeners going, what?
I know.
Doesn't that mean I'm just going to eat candy every single day?
and that's diet culture conditioning that, like,
exactly.
If we don't control our food, we can't be trusted.
We'll be out of control. We should say that again, girlfriend, because that is so powerful right there. If I don't control my food, what was the rest of your thought?
I can't be trusted.
Yeah, yeah.
And isn't that so, like, too sticky with our trauma histories, too, of, like, people won't listen to me and I'm not believed and it didn't happen and my experience definitely happened? It's like a natural next step for a lot of people because of that. It's just a springboard. But that's what diet culture teaches. You can't be trusted.
Right.
You don't have the right BMI, so you must have done something wrong. What's wrong with you?
Yes.
Right? And that's the messaging. You go to the doctor when you're 12 and you're going through puberty.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Oh, my gosh. You just took me back to high school. They walk you in a row. You got to get on the scale with all your girlfriends.
Well,
everybody's
this stuff, right?
Oh, it's so bad.
If
so
we really
bad.
Think about, like, this toxic soup we live in of, like, there's only one right bite to have. Mm-hmm. And you got to eat a certain way to get there. And if that doesn't work, it's your fault. Versus the research is very clear that 95% of the time, that's just the average study of what they say. It could be 86 to 99, whatever. Mm-hmm. That if you try to go on a diet to control your body, your body's going to rebel and try to get back to like some kind of homeostasis within 6 months to 2 years.
Yeah.
That's not your fault. It's just going to happen. It doesn't matter how much you try to – I mean, the people who can – live on really low calories, have eating disorders. You know, that's not a sign of like thrived living, normal eating.
Yeah.
To maintain, like to weight suppress yourself below your set point, long-term, you're just going to be disordered to do that.
Okay. So what I'm really hearing so strongly from you there is that one of the first steps towards developing intuitive eating, our capacity for intuitive eating, is to really reframe what we're up to when it comes to food. That it's not about restricting. It's not about something controlling something. We're not good if we, you know, ate so a certain number of carbs a day, these sorts of things. And where do we go from there?
Yeah. So I love this. So it's like we're recognizing this. We just live in this soup. We all have this conditioning. Whether we're dieters or not, there's just like, we think that there's a right way and a wrong way. What I say, what if we framed it in, there's a supportive way, and you given meal or snack to eat, and maybe not a supportive way. And sometimes the most supportive thing you can do is, eat the protein with the thing because you feel more blood sugar stabilized and you have better energy. Sometimes the most supportive thing to do with that same meal the next day is like, you know what? If I eat that protein, I'm so dissatisfied, I'm going to be rummaging through the cabinet. I just need to go ahead and eat the extra dinner roll versus the whatever, because that's, I'm going to be satisfied. And like healthy eating isn't really just about like how much nutrient dense food you can jam down your throat. It's really about this physical, mental, emotional, even spiritual supportive experience.
Support. Wow. That's amazing.
Supportive, like really attuned and really supportive. Like what
food as support.
Girl,
you blew my mind.
Relationship.
Yeah. Nice.
We can have a relationship with our bodies because when we can do that, I think it repairs so much more than what's on our plate. This is just a repaired relationship with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In the world and trusting ourselves and people again. And if we can do that with food, I know that we can do that with bigger stuff.
I love that. Yeah.
So ditching dieting, and I know that's a mind blow, but it's like, it doesn't make people thinner. It doesn't make people healthier. It just makes people more obsessed and not trust themselves.
Okay.
So we want to start with like this full permission to eat. Now full permission doesn't mean the free for all doesn't matter. Your body though will give you signals of like, I don't want to eat any more of this.
Yeah.
Or it's like, I'm really feeling like I'm eating this. That doesn't mean you're dieting. If you want to eat a salad, it just means you need to eat. Your body wants you to eat a salad. Or if you're eating lots of bread, it's like, doesn't mean that you're binging out. It just means maybe you need more carbs because it's your cycle coming, or you have been sick, or you have been disconnected and accidentally under eating. There's a lot of reasons why we need to eat that aren't intellectual. Mm-hmm. That we can't always measure, you know, it's body feedback.
Yeah.
And learning how to trust that.
I think I experienced that a little bit this past holiday season and, you know, over the Christmas holiday with friends. You know, boy, isn't that a ripe time for all of our food stuff to come up? Oh, my God. People say, I'll stop my diet in the new year, right? It's such, you're so right. It's like such a strong mentality that we're doing something bad and I'll be good starting January 1st. And this was really, I think, you know, one of the first years where I was able to get out of that construct and I was like, I am just going to nourish myself and enjoy and eat. And then I on the other side of that, like for the 3 days after the holiday, like I was so not hungry. And I was like, and I had to battle this idea of, I should be eating my breakfast like I always do. I should be having the full dinner. But all I really wanted for dinner was like some crackers and cheese, you know, but listening to myself in that moment and finding that little bit of balance of like, yes, I had this wonderful, indulging, enjoying, nourishing pecan pie every night kind of, moment.
So let me ask you a question, Rachel. Yeah. How many, so you had pecan pie almost, I don't know how many nights in a row.
Oh, like 3 nights, like a slice of pecan pie, 3 nights in a row, yeah.
So were you feeling like it on the 4th or 5th day? Did you even think about it?
No, girl, I was like, okay, I'm good.
Okay.
Satiated,
so that's,
done.
That's a testimony to everybody listening. Is that like the body is not going to want too much of any one thing. If we are in this space of really listening and being present, eating to like the satisfaction place, the body's like, I'm over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to get back to some other stuff. And it always will work this way. And I know you have experience of like watching little kids eat that way.
Yes. Right.
We're adults. I mean, we were once those kids. We can do that again. And that's what this whole framework is really about, is learning to come back home to our bodies the way we're kind of meant to eat. It's just that I know that there's, we've got a lot of mental, emotional stuff that's
right.
in our culture, in our face about it, how we can't do that. And then we have our own experience, like our personal experiences. So there's
right.
the micro and the macro of like, you're dismantling layers of that kind of stuff. And I wanted to add that, how do you do this? Well, some people need to use like a little tools like a hunger and fullness chart that helps them, like, I don't even know how I feel or what this means. So I have lots of little tools that can help people not okay. tell them what to do, but have little, you know, guideposts, you know, like little prompts of like
a way to help them check in with themselves.
Just check-in points, basically, that okay. aren't meant to be like you follow this forever, like a meal plan, but they're just little tools when you're in that middle stage, beginning stage of like, I don't know what any of this is supposed to feel like. I don't have a label for this, you know, because I've been in my head for 20 years following somebody else's plan. I don't know what I'm supposed to feel or do.
Right. Yeah. So it really is relearning. And I'm, that's right up my alley, because, you know, so much of what trauma does is it just disconnects us in a lot of different ways. And we kind of learn all the wrong lessons. And I think a part of that is certainly food and, you know, using food for safety and all these things that we've been talking about today. So coming home to the body and using food as support, these are some really beautiful ideas and thoughts that you've shared with us today. And I know we could probably go on for another 2 hours because there is so much to say on this topic. Have we missed anything? Is there anything we want to make sure that we get in here before
we
start?
Well, I think you know, so I'm in my own little bubble and niche of like, you know, non-diet practitioners and stuff. And, you know, we're always kind of helping people, you know, make peace with food and ditch dieting and work on body image and joyful movement versus punitive exercise and stuff like that. The piece that I add to this, that mix, is using the body as a resource. So if you're feeling revved up before a meal, do a plank. Push out some of the adrenaline and then check back in. Or if you're feeling really kind of fuzzy, you know, you might need to go hang out in your hammock a little bit, or do some goo breath, or do some stuff to juice up your system again if you don't know what you want or what to do, and use that, use your body versus trying to overthink it. Sometimes we just need to eat, but we just don't know exactly how to reach for it or what we want. And some of the somatic tools and skills I'm sure you teach and that I teach, that we don't necessarily think about how to use with food, I say use that with food to help you get more connected. That way you have like a springboard if you feel lost or stuck. And we know how that feels if you don't know what to do. We get a little scared and rubbed up.
Right, right. Oh my gosh. So everybody listening, please go to Tracy's website, because there is so much more to learn and so many great resources that she has available there. Of course, her programs too. So let's talk a little bit about how people can continue to connect with you. So there's Tracy Brown, rd.com. No. Yes, rd.com, embodieddietitian.com. They can find you on Facebook under Tracy Brown, RD. And can you tell them a little bit about the intuitive eating quiz? And we want to make sure we give them the URL for that too.
Yeah, I actually don't think I have that URL memorized. I'll have to give it to you. But probably the easiest way is just go to the website.
Oh, I have it here. I have it here too, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. All right, so the intuitive eating quiz is just like a little touch point to see, like, you know, how connected are you and how much of your worries about weight are in the mix of disconnecting you, or how much of it is about something else. And it just kind of gives you a starting place, like where you're at, like how much you know, how much connection do you have. And it just kind of scores a little bit of like what you probably need to focus on, basically.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's, go ahead.
I was going to say that my website just has lots of resources about all these topics. But I do a lot of lives and videos, like teaching videos, kind of like these topics we're talking about on my Facebook, just because people learn in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that piece of paper is a little cold, and I think it's important to feel as someone else is talking and you're looking at them, like the somatic stuff that's happening in your body, so you know, like, oh, that's
those good old mirror neurons. Yes, yeah, yes, yes.
Like, you might know something, but if you're not able to act on it and your body's responding, that's a sign that that's something that wants to be spoken.
Mm. Beautiful. Awesome. So to get that quiz, folks, you're going to go to tracybrownrd.com/intuitive-quiz. And that link and all of the other links will be in our show notes as well. So just click and go. And Tracy, I just want to thank you so very much for being here and sharing your wisdom. I've taken away some really great reframes from our conversation and inspiration to continue shifting away and out of and freeing myself from the diet culture and coming more and more into just trusting myself. And I think that's a really beautiful lesson for all of us. Any final words of encouragement for our listeners?
I just want to encourage, especially people who are feeling, you know, really scared by a little bit of the message of like, you're going to, if you stop dieting or controlling your food, that you're going to be out of control.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't always like that. There was a time, maybe you don't remember it, or maybe it's just been a long time ago, where your body, like, you follow kind of the lead of your body. And I know to come home to that, that means you're going to be in your body when you're also trying to navigate this maybe other, you know, kind of get to the other side of, like, you know, trauma and be more in post-traumatic growth. And so if you're wrestling with, like, signals and feeling sensations in my body that aren't so fun, be really gentle and be really patient. If you need to follow some like really gentle structure, not to undereat and learn the difference, I mean, that's okay too. I mean, you don't have to just go jump right in because it's a lot.
Yes. Great words of wisdom, folks. Take that, put it in the bank, use it. And yes, thank you again, Tracy, so much for your time and your expertise and this beautiful work that you're doing out in the world. Just so appreciate you and look forward to staying in touch. And for those of you listening, thank you very much for being here and listening today. Don't forget to pop over to rachelgrantcoaching.com as well to check out the resources that are available. And please subscribe to our podcast, leave us a note, and come back next time because we have so much more to share. And until then, take good care of you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.